The Orange FM.
Ready to form Voltron. Activate interlocks. Dinotherms connected. Infracell up. Mega thrusters are go.
Welcome, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell, the host of Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. And I've got a great show for you today. This is something we've never done before. But before we get to that, I have a couple things that we want to talk about that the podcast itself is actually doing. All right, so we have a couple of new things coming. All right, the first thing, we want to talk about Teespring.com. Teespring, Teespring.com. We are going to be starting a t-shirt campaign for the podcast. Teespring.com is like a Kickstarter for t-shirts. So basically, we're talking about a Let's Voltron logo t-shirt that we're going to be offering for sale to everyone that wants to buy one. And the key here with this campaign is it's only going to be able to go 3 weeks, and it's going to be starting with this podcast episode. And what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to go on letsvoltron.com to a special link and buy a t-shirt. We're going to have two different styles available. The first style is a unisex style, and the second style is a women's style. And both of these t-shirts are going to be a higher quality than the basic quality that Teespring offers, because we want you guys to have a good t-shirt with the podcast logo on it. These t-shirts are going to be sort of gray colored with the logo in the front. And on the back, it's going to say Let's Voltron in big letters, and then in smaller letters, www.letsvoltron.com. Now, the key to this campaign is we have to start to be able to sell them at $20 a piece. We have to be able to sell at least 50 t-shirts. So we're going to be promoting this as much as we can to be able to get to that 50 t-shirt goal. Now, if we don't reach that goal, what happens is nobody gets any t-shirts. So we don't want that to happen, so we're going to try to get everybody, if you want to get one for yourself, if you want to get one for your family, if you want to get one for friends, and then tell everybody else about it at the same time. If we get over 50, it keeps going until the campaign runs out, until the end of the 3 weeks. So that's what we got going on with t-shirts. Now, the second thing we have going on is we've put a deposit down on a booth for RetroCon, which is a convention for retro properties like Voltron and He-Man and Transformers and all those other cartoons you love from the 80s, as well as 70s stuff like Starsky and Hutch, Battlestar Galactica, Buck Rogers, all those kind of things. We're talking about TV shows. We're talking about movies. We're talking about games. I mean, you can get old Nintendo systems, you can play some of those old Nintendo systems, or even an Atari or a Commodore 64 or something like that. They have over 200 tables of vendors there that are selling toys, they're selling comic books, they're selling all merchandise related to retro properties. And Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast, is going to be there with Bad Wolf Radio, which is a Doctor Who podcast, which is also run by the Orange FM podcast network. So we're going to get to see a whole lot of people that are really interested in the retro properties. And while we're there at our booth, and this, by the way, is on September 27th and 28th at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, Pennsylvania. So if anybody wants to come up to the Greater Philadelphia area and enjoy a really cool convention, you're going to be able to do it for 2 days, September 27th and 28th. Let's Voltron Podcast and Bad Wolf Radio will have a booth together under the Orange FM podcast network, and we're actually going to be doing some live podcasting while we're there. We're really looking forward to connecting with the fans, first time that we're ever going to be out there live with the fans as the podcast. We'll have cards, we'll have stickers, we'll have hats, we'll have t-shirts, all kinds of things available. So tell your friends, RetroCon in Greater Philadelphia Expo Center in Oaks, PA, September 27th and 28th of this year. Oh, and one more thing. If you haven't heard the buzz on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else, Voltron.com now has coloring pages for Voltron Force. A lot of you were asking for it, and now you have it. World Events Productions has provided coloring pages available to print and color yourself on Voltron.com. Just go to Voltron.com. There's a coloring pages icon. Just click on that, and you'll get access to a whole bunch of different characters from Voltron Force so that you can print them out and color them yourself. We especially want to thank Bob Koppler and Tiffany Alardi for getting that together for us, because that was a really special thing we had asked for on the podcast itself during the Bob Koppler interview, if you recall. So, coloring pages for Voltron Force, all the characters are there. All right, thank you very much. All right, so right now I have with me four lovely ladies who really love Voltron. And we're going to be talking in a Voltron roundtable discussion. We're offering it up to the ladies to just bring up any subjects they want to bring up, and we're going to talk Voltron. And this is why it's different than anything we've ever done before, because it's just totally freeform. Anything goes. The first person I want to introduce is Casey Snyder. Casey, are you there?
I'm right here.
All right, Casey, can you give me a little description of yourself and how you came to love Voltron?
Well, I'm an office drone by day, and by night I study ballet. I'm a nail polish fanatic, and I'm a Voltron fangirl. In fact, I take my Voltron t-shirts to every ballet camp I go to every year. I first discovered Voltron, so to speak, in 1984 when it came out. I was in high school, and I remember running home from the bus stop to catch it every day on our local UHF station, because it was just that good.
All right, so are you a professional proofreader?
Yes. Well, yes, you could say that. That's part of what I do. So I'm very much a grammar nerd.
And are you involved with Snarktron Force?
Oh, yes. I'm one of the founding members and one of the founding members of the Twitter RP. I play Lance Coran when he shows up and Lance's wife, CJ.
And just so people understand, what is the difference between the Twitter RP and Snarktron Force?
Snarktron Force, we actually formed it as a very loose group of writers. We discussed the show. We discussed basically anything that came into our heads. The Twitter RP, we're actually, this is like real-time fan fiction / improvisational theater. We're doing storylines for the Voltron universe in character. We're tweeting in character.
Okay. All right. So how did the Snarktron Force get together in the beginning?
We just kind of stumbled over each other online. You know, we saw each other on fanfiction.net. We met on the Twitter forums. And we did a lot of griping about bad writing and grammar in some of the stories that were coming out. And we just sort of clicked from there. We had a mutual interest. And over the years, we became a fairly tight-knit group.
Okay.
Still together today.
All right, great. What would you say is your fondest Voltron memory?
Oh, wow. Besides being on this podcast, you mean?
well, that's nice, but there's got to be something in either, you know, growing up or even recently that sparked something that you'll never forget.
I can actually credit Voltron with getting me into fan fiction. The very first actual fan fiction I ever wrote was for Voltron when I was in high school. And I had to write it longhand in a spiral notebook because we did not have computers.
Okay.
We also had dinosaurs. So get off my lawn.
All right. So what would you say is your go-to Voltron merchandise item that you would never want to part with?
My t-shirts. I can take those anywhere. And everybody looks at them and goes, oh, Voltron. I know that. I had little five-year-olds point to me and tell me that was Voltron. He thought Optimus Prime was cooler, but what does he know?
Okay, so of all the things that you have, it's the Voltron t-shirts that spark the most conversations about Voltron, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, do you have a favorite Voltron series and character?
Well, besides Lance, obviously, I would have to say my favorite character is Ramel. She's a kick-butt warrior woman. She didn't lie down and take what happens to her. Series-wise, I'd honestly have to go with Voltron Force. I loved the Defender era, but it was pretty darn cheesy. Mm-hmm. Voltron Force was a lot more updated. I wasn't too fond of the cadets, but I thought it had real promise. I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
And I miss it.
Yeah, it was tough having only one season there, right?
Yeah.
What's your favorite podcast episode so far?
Oh, my. I can't really pinpoint a favorite, to tell you the truth, but I really like the ones where you sort of dissect the show.
Oh, where we actually talk about the episodes.
Okay. Yes.
Well,
I really enjoy seeing your perspective on this.
The very next episode we work on after this one will be a Voltron episodes review.
Great.
Look forward to that one. All right, now, where would you like to see Voltron go in future versions?
I'd like to see it continue with the story of the original Voltron Force. Voltron Force focused so much on the cadets. I'd really like to see what happens with the original five as they mature and move on to the next stage of their lives. You know, the idea of the cadets was good, but there was just too much focus on them to capture the younger demographic.
Okay.
I would have liked to see more of them. And, of course, you can't beat the Lions. I want to see more of the Lions in action.
All right, so if there was a Voltron story, there has to be a villain.
Oh, absolutely.
So where would the villain part come from?
Well, Lotor was always good. Hagar, I'd love to see come back because she was just, there was so much potential with her, and I really missed her in Voltron Force. Zarkon was pretty scheming, and there's always the possibility of new ones. We never saw much more of Kala or Wade.
Okay.
There's always their stories waiting to be finished, and so much more villainy out there.
Okay. Thank you for joining us on the podcast, and we're going to move on to the next participant. And that person is Tally LaFlamme.
Hello.
Hello, Tally.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me on here. I'm so excited.
Could you give a description of yourself and how you got involved with Voltron?
Certainly. Well, my name is Tally. I am a former Army vet, an old sorority girl, and I am a mom and a wife, and I am a huge Voltron fangirl. I've always have been. I watched the show back in 1984 when I was in fifth grade, and I fell in love with it. I had never seen, well, American cartoons were so, I guess, passe and idealistic. I'd never seen a Japanese cartoon before, and I got really excited about it because it was so different, and action happened, a girl was fighting, and I just fell in love with the whole concept and took off from there, and I've always been fascinated by the show.
All right, so could you give us a description of a Voltron memory that you'll never forget?
Oh, I have so many of them. I have old ones and new. But I think my first memories of Voltron, of course, was I had gotten $5. I think it was for lunch money, actually, for the week. And instead, I walked about a mile downtown in my hometown, Priscilla, Oklahoma, and went to Western Auto and bought a Princess Allura action figure. And my mother was not very happy about that because it was money for something else. But I had to have Princess Allura right then and there. So,
okay. Do you remember which manufacturer it was that had that Allura figure?
No, I don't. I remember it was the 1985 or 1984 era.
So. Okay, so it was probably maybe Panache Place?
I think it was. It went inside the Lion. Okay. Of course, my brother and I, we had Vehicle Voltron as well as the Lion Voltron. And those action figures would fit inside the Lions and you could, you know, form Voltron, all that cool stuff.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, so what's your go-to Voltron merchandise item that you would never want to part with?
I kind of joke about my Voltron jersey. I joke that I will be buried in two things, my sorority pin and my Voltron jersey.
Okay.
Every time I wear it, I'm a hockey fan as well. I go to a lot of hockey games here locally in Huntsville.
Okay.
I get commentary about it. I wore it to Comic-Con, New York City Comic-Con last 2 years in a row. And people always stop me. They recognize what it is. And they're like, oh my gosh, that is a awesome jersey. When I was in last year Comic-Con, a man actually offered me about $150 for my jersey right off my back. I said, no, of course I couldn't do that right off my back. I had nothing on my jersey, of course. But he wanted it that badly. The jersey was just that awesome. And it's my favorite thing.
Okay. All right. So do you have a favorite Voltron series or character?
I agree with Casey. A Voltron Force, honestly, was a great show. I really like it better than, you know, Defender of the Universe series because it actually had the characters weren't these, you know, to perfect heroes. I mean, they had personality. You had Pidge, you know, as a secret DJ, an international rock star, a universal rock star. You had Hunk who would play in the junkyard and play guitar. And, you know, it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that series.
All right. And then do you have a favorite podcast episode so far?
Oh, I certainly do. When you had Mark Oliver on talking about his collection, he's a hoot. I really enjoyed that. Made me jealous of his collection.
And you, of course, have met Mark Oliver.
Yes, we've hung out quite a bit. I have become very well acquainted with his sweaty calves,
Yes.
his Voltron costume. Me and Tara Scully, another member of our Snarktron force, we attended the Comic-Con back in October, New York City Comic-Con, and we walked around with Mark in his costume because it's very hard to navigate in that costume. It's huge. It's kind of bulky, and he can't see very well. It gets very hot, and the parts do slip. So we walk around, kind of be his handler. And we were stopped literally every 5 steps, we were stopped and asked for pictures with the costume. It was absolutely incredible. And he was so generous and so sweet and patient. He would stop and, take pictures, and no one was ever turned away. He would stop and with everyone take pictures. And the best one was, I think, the New York City policeman who actually wanted a picture with him and Voltron. It was awesome. I still have that one on my in my scrapbook. That was a great moment.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, it was awesome.
I remember him saying that he had to take over 1,000 pictures one day, and
Yes.
he was so tired that he just fell on the bed and just collapsed.
We were exhausted. I mean, it was, of course, Javits Center is just packed full of people.
Yes,
It's
it
an
is.
ocean of humanity. It's crazy. And that show floor is packed full of people. But it was just amazing the reactions we got. I mean, Voltron is still a beloved character of, of our cartoon heritage, you might say. And it
Yep.
was just so great to see even adults and kids. I mean, it was all ages, but just as adults. It was little kids all excited, the adults were excited, the parents were excited. It was one of those Voltron, golden moments,
As a Voltron fan, it really made you glow, didn't it?
Oh, it did. I was high on the Voltron mountain that day for sure. It was awesome.
Right. Where would you like to see Voltron go in a future version?
I think the last show was more marketed toward children. I would love to see a format, perhaps of like the style of a lot of the Japanese anime now, which is really a show more geared toward adults. It could be like a cartoon on like Cartoon Network on the Adult Swim, perhaps, geared to more adult viewers. So it could be a little more edgier. They could
Right.
have more violence, and they could explore more character relationships, not just, Keith and Laura. That's cool, but other ones, as well, but have a grittier edge and grittier feel to it,
Right.
Like a real manga would be awesome.
Yeah. All right. So Mike in a previous episode had talked about how certain cartoons have grown, with
Yes.
their fans over the years, and we'd like to see the same thing happen with Voltron,
Yes,
where we
absolutely.
actually get a mature version of Voltron.
I mean, you had Keith back in the 80s, who is this, almost a perfect Boy Scout kind of figure. It'd be great to see him as an actual military leader who would occasionally cuss and swear and get, just a little more edgier. It'd be great to see that.
Okay, great. All right, well, we're going to move on to the next person who's on our podcast this week. And we're going to be talking to Chitoy. Welcome, Chitoy.
Hey.
Hey, Chitoy, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Everybody remembers Chitoy from having done the Challenge the Chi on the podcast, where Chitoy is an artist who has done several pictures that we've enjoyed that are sort of podcast inspired. I know the first one we were talking about was kind of edgy. That was when we were talking about Miley Cyrus. And she had done the wrecking ball.
Oh yes, and I tried to do as best I can to make that PG related with
Right.
swimsuits.
Right. So we had Keith and Allura on the wrecking ball. And then our second one was the one that was the Challenge the Chi winner, and that was the Robeast in the arena from the first episode that they never got to fight. And we actually got to see in your picture the Voltron Force. Before they were the Voltron Force, fighting that Robeast.
Yeah, and I'm tempted to actually revisit that again to by doing another scene because as much as I enjoyed doing that, I was not happy with not seeing everyone's faces save for Pidge. So I figured it was like this time I was going to switch it around so you see the back of the Robeast and everyone else's expressions.
Oh, that would be cool.
So.
That'd be cool. And then the third one you did was the Olympic one. And that was the Voltron snowboarding, which we currently have on our Facebook page.
Yeah, that was definitely fun. And I was thinking, I was like, oh, what kind of tricks could he do and stuff? And snowboard seemed like the best one.
Right.
And who knows, maybe I'll do another one again.
Okay. And then the last one that we got was the mashup that we were talking about. What other mashups could be done besides the Robotech Voltron mashup? And everybody had mentioned Power Rangers. So you did a Power Rangers mashup.
Of course. I mean, you have to have Tommy there, so as the potentials of a storyline there is really great in my opinion. It's just that I have yet to really get it all written down, so how the perspective of what that would be. It's like tempting, very tempting to do.
Okay, so could you give us a little description of yourself besides being a really good artist? What else do you do, and how did you get involved with Voltron?
Well, basically, I'm just your typical 24/7 mom who happens to also be a big geek.
Okay, which is
Yeah,
okay.
it is perfectly fine. In fact, it's kind of appropriate because my kids are going to be probably bigger geeks than me.
And the geeks will inherit the earth.
Secret masters of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
But I got into Voltron a long time ago. I can't remember. Just I remember coming home, or one of my homes, because my parents were divorced at the time, and I would be just plopping myself down in front of the TV, and it was Voltron time.
Nice.
And for me, that was it. That was like heaven right there. It was just having, I would. My father had gotten me the panache Voltron with the figures as well.
Okay.
And so I'm there with my Voltron toy, watching Voltron, and I'm just, it was good.
That sounds great. That was one thing I didn't get to share with my parents in any way. Voltron was a me thing, not my parents. That's pretty cool. Do you have a Voltron memory that you'll never forget?
Well, aside from several, the top one was from the episode Doom boycotts the Space Olympics.
Okay.
For years, I went believing Keith was naked in that
Wow.
scene. And literally, I was literally arguing with friends, going, no, he was naked. And later on, when the Voltron Defenders universe came out on DVDs, I watched the episode again and realized I was completely wrong. To me, that memory of just thinking he
Right.
was, that's just stuck with me.
Well, I know for guys, if you were looking at shows back then, you really didn't have a chance like you do today to, go back and see a digital copy of it, where you could just easily go to the point in the episode where you could see, and you could just like capture it on that frame. When we were growing up, there was you didn't have anything at first, and then you had videotapes on VHS. And rewinding and fast forwarding and trying to pause right on those spots, it's hard to do that. So, today's people have it so easy.
Oh, definitely.
So.
And of course, I can watch it as much as I t want to. So I can literally have Voltron going on 24/7 if I want to.
Right, exactly. And isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, 24 hours of Voltron. We should have our own channel. Let's make that happen, DreamWorks TV. We want our own Voltron channel.
That would actually, I would like to be able to have, is like saying, this is my Voltron time on the channel, and even be able to look back at some of the episodes that I wasn't that big a fan of, and go, okay, well, maybe if they did this or this, and the fan girl in me says, well, I could rewrite this whole script and make it better.
And what we should have is all the comics that have been made should be made into episodes, and then we'll have every version of Voltron that was ever out there will be running 24/7.
Just about. That would be cool.
Okay, do you have a go-to Voltron merchandise item that you'd like to tell us that you would never part with?
Well, definitely, I will not part with anything I have. I have shirts, I have hats, I have toys, I even have the stickers on my car. So I was like, as I'm driving by, I'm obviously positive a police car pulled me over just so he can look at the Voltron stickers on the back of my car.
He really did that?
Well, and he didn't pull it over and say about the stickers. He made the excuse of saying, "Well, the window in your tent is too dark." It wasn't.
Okay.
There was cars going by me that had darker tint than me. The only difference was I had some unusual stickers on the back of my car.
They wanted to find out whether or not you had Hagar wrapped up in duct tape in the back. Probably.
No. Probably, yeah, but still, I think it's like, why are you pulling me over for the tint of my windows? I don't believe that. I think it might have been the Voltron stickers.
Okay. All right, do you have a favorite Voltron series and character?
I'm all about Keith.
That's okay.
Utterly obsessed with him.
Always.
Little. Sorry. Keep me quiet. Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's an understatement right there, right? Just a little obsession. No. As for the series, I do still like to fall back on Defenders of the Universe, but I do love Voltron Force. It's just, it was for the maturity of the series.
Okay.
But there's also the comics, too, to which I mean, I utterly enjoy. Because, especially with the Devil's Due, that line I really wish kept on going because the stories was so. It was so mature, and who knows where they could have gone in, later on. So,
So would you say the Dan Jolly episode that we had for the podcast, was that one of your favorites then?
oh yeah, that and the dissections, the Mark Oliver. I mean,
It's all good. Okay. Well, that's good to hear. So we must be doing something right here, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so we're going to move on to our last participant, and certainly last but not least. We have Moira.
Hello.
Welcome, Moira.
Hi, thank you for having me and all of us. This is great.
Right, and can you give us a little description of yourself and how you come to love Voltron?
Oh, well, I was always the tomboy growing up. Was always roughhousing with the boys and all that kind of stuff. So Voltron just, how can you beat it? Action figures, killing robeasts and all that stuff. It just fit what, I liked. I didn't like the girly stuff. It was just a perfect fit for me. As for what I do, I'm actually work in theater, show business stuff, which doesn't have much to do with Voltron.
What, show business has nothing to do with
I'm
Voltron?
not that well. Maybe
Okay.
later. Well, I mean the show, but as far as, other than I'm, a female in a very male profession,
Right.
and just, we're under one of the boys like Allura.
Okay.
Yep.
You're not involved with Snarktron Force?
No, I'm not.
All right, so you're the
No.
only one of the group that's not doing the role playing or writing?
Now, well, I did do it that similar thing back in early 2000s. I used to role play Keith with Adele. You might know her from the boards as Princess Allura P.
Right.
And she did Allura, and we had a few other players. And actually, we developed a whole co-fan fiction that grew out of this role play back and forth banter that we used to do. And we actually used to maintain Ask Keith, Ask Allura columns, where people would email us questions and we would respond in character to their questions. And it was a hoot. Oh, it was so fun.
Okay. You've heard us ask these questions of the other ladies.
Yep.
What is a Voltron memory that you'll never forget?
Oh, it's probably the current, well, it's always ongoing, being an author in the fanfic community, just the responses you get and the joy you can bring to other people as they respond to what you're offering and, continuing the stories that, we all have in our imaginations for other people, and then getting that amazing feedback from people is just wonderful.
Is there a story that has become a favorite of other people that you wrote?
Well, there's the current one that is still in progress. It's an epic. It's probably like Game of Thrones long. It's though not many deaths, not that many deaths. Don't panic. and it's a slog for me to write because there's so many plots. So that's the Happily Ever After story that's been going on for I think 2 or 3 years now and probably going to keep going. But my first one actually was called The Suitors, and that was the first fan fiction I ever wrote and got a huge response. And still people say that that's the one that got them hooked. And it's just good fun.
You know, I'm not as well versed on the whole fanfic community as most people are here. But I would like to know, how do you guys get your feedback? And do you take that feedback and also sort of implement it into your writing?
Well, a lot of us are, like, there's several, like, independent boards and groups that we've members of that similar writers are on. Fanfiction.com is probably the most used one in the Voltron fanfic, but it's not the exclusive one. Okay. And there you get reviews. And then I just recently, as far as my fanfic time, started up a Twitter handle just to deal with feedback and sharing stuff that way. And then there's always old fashioned email.
Yeah, I remember in some of our previous episodes, Ted Koppler had mentioned that they took the feedback from the fans and they actually used some of it.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, like, it's fun actually when they start, you lay out where you're going in little hints, you know, and then also you have to, you know, those fake hints that don't really go anywhere, so keep them guessing, and then they're all like trying to guess where you're going next, and I'm a monkey wrench person. I just love, I'm taking you down one path and then all of a sudden we're going down a different road, and I like doing that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah. So what would you say is your favorite podcast episode so far?
I would have to agree that it was the Jolly episodes. I'm a real big fan of the comic that he did, and that was my favorite of the podcasts.
Great. How about a favorite Voltron series or character?
Oh, well, it's Keith, of course. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's read anything I've written knows that. And it would have to be the original show, but a really close tie with Vehicle Force. I love Vehicle Force.
Okay.
So it's real. I mean, and to me, they're one show. You know, I've blended them in my head so much that it's hard for me to separate the two, you know, shared in my mind's, you know, imaginings, shared backstories and stuff, that they're just two branches of the same tree.
Did you like the Fleet of Doom special?
I did like the Fleet of Doom. I wish there was more Vehicle Force in it. It was, right. I mean, I can't knock that it was all pretty much an Allura show, which was nice to see her get a spotlight. But I would have liked to see more balance between both shows rather than, you know, a lion show with a guest spot kind of thing.
Okay.
But other than that, it was great.
All right. Do you have a Voltron merchandise item that you would never want to part with?
That would have to be my DVD collection.
Oh, wow.
Because if I don't have the shows to watch, you know, if the internet's down for some reason, I've got DVDs. And so I have, you know, all the original shows, both Lion and the Vehicle. And then I have the original Japanese versions as well. The only thing I can't get is the new Voltron Force. I mean, I have the digital version, but it's not the same as having it in your hand.
Right. Yeah. So you would be very interested in an all-encompassing collection of everything Voltron.
Oh, yeah.
On Blu-ray or DVD.
Yeah,
right?
That would be huge. Yeah, that would be great. Especially with extras and commentary tracks and all that stuff. I love all the extra bonus features and things. So if you loaded it up with that would be great.
Okay. What kind of extras would you want to see?
Well, like commentary, like what you're doing with the episodes, the episode reviews and talking about it. If you guys did a commentary as the episode's playing and talk about this and that and differences between the original source material and what we saw and that kind of stuff, it just fascinates me.
Do you have the DVDs of Armored Fleet Die Rugger 15?
I have the first two box sets of that, but the last one is so expensive that I haven't been able to bite the bullet on that one yet.
Okay.
So I'm missing the last box set, but I have the first two.
Okay. Where would you like to see Voltron go in future versions?
I would like to see it get edgy. I want to see it stay animated. The style of the Voltron Force with the combination of the CG for the robots and the, you know, the cell frame style. Mm-hmm. I really like, but I'd like it to get a little darker. The reason I fell in love with Voltron was it wasn't a kids show, like, I'm doing air quotes that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And Voltron Force sort of was a throwback to the old shows I didn't like, which was like a kids show with the focus on the cadets that really, I don't know how to say it nicely, but don't have redeeming features that would make them have the jobs they have. They were always in trouble. They were always breaking the rules or all of that. And I would rather see kids that deserved that role, that could be role models for kids who want to do the right thing, who don't want to break the rules, who want to, you know, those kids exist. Those were me. That was me. And that's why I loved Voltron as a kid. And I'd like to see that show where it's a little more serious, a little more dark, a little more edgy, and animated for sure.
Okay, great. Well, we are going to move to the second portion of our show here, where we're actually going to bring all four ladies together, and we are just going to go at it with Voltron. Are you guys excited about that?
Very.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to open it up to you guys, all right?
Oh, we get to poke it.
Yeah, who wants to start? Does somebody have a subject they want to throw out there that we'll start talking
about? I'd kind of like to bring up that whole subject we were just talking about a minute ago with Moira just mentioned, with the edgierness or a different series of, of Voltron, take it into a different direction, make it a series for us adult fans,
I think that's an excellent start here.
I totally agree with everything she was saying. I was totally agreeing. I was trying to be quiet, but I was like, yeah, when she was speaking. I feel the exact same way. I mean, Voltron Force was good in some respects, but yeah, it was cadet focused, which I kind of liked the cadets. They kind of grew me, but yeah, I totally agree. I like to see it more of a edgier, like I said earlier, going for the, the darker side of the characters themselves, not just, the bad guys, but, their moments and their total emotions, like their triumphs and their self, doubts or things they would probably have, fighting a war like this, continuously fighting against these enemies.
I agree with what Tally was saying. I mean, these people are living in a war zone, basically.
Right.
And we don't really see that. We see that Eris is this sunny paradise and everything is wonderful, except when it's not. We don't really get into the ramifications of them living under this constant threat of war and destruction and what that does to you. And of course, now, because here in the U.S., we've been through several wars, we know what that looks like, but we don't really see it in a kid's show. And of course, you wouldn't go full out with that in a cartoon, but it would be nice to see a little bit more of that.
Okay.
Also, like the motivation of the Drools. Why are they bad? I mean, it's bad to be bad. I mean, what is their culture like? I mean, is there a reason why they're going after Eris? I mean, there's got to be more depth to the Drools as well. So, I think that'd be interesting to show their side as well, as their culture and their beliefs and what they're after.
Right. Yeah, I think it's like from when Dan Jolly had with Sven running off in his comic. The Drools were like saying that, oh, look at this lovely place. I mean, we could go have vacations here. And it's just like, what is the Drools' mindset? It's like when they're looking around, is where they are that horrible that, yes, they're conquering places just because they're just wanting a better life? And it'll be interesting to see, sort of like their motivation.
I also was interested in the Drools in that when we saw them in the original cartoon, they all kind of looked very similar to each other. And the only thing you really could tell difference was the way they dressed and stuff like that. But in some respects, I would like to know if there was a cross-pollination with other species or other planets or something like that, where we had combined Drool and other planet children,
Right. I do remember in Devil's Due comics, they actually presented the Drools as a collective, like different races of Drools.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the Drool Supremacy, I think they called it?
Yeah.
Merla was the queen of the Seventh Kingdom. There were like there were 10 kingdoms all together.
Right.
And they're all a little bit different. You can see some of them had different facial characteristics, some a different height and build. I mean, kind of a, I don't know, almost like you might say, like, you could tell Norwegians apart from Swedes, apart from, it was very, I thought that was a great way to see the Drools, because they gave a little more character, and they had structure and format, not just some kind of barbaric race out for, world destruction. They had intrigue as well between Merla and, Lotor and things like that. That'd be great to see more of that develop.
And even Dan Jolly himself said that he would like to rename those kingdoms into something a little bit more interesting than the numbers. And that could go further in a new version.
Well, we did see in the original Go line that Lotor's mother was human.
Right.
So there was some crossbreeding there.
Well, that's why he looked more handsome, right?
Right. And there's, you know, who knows who else could have been, you know, bred that way. There's bound to be other mixes out there because the Drools have conquered so many planets.
Right.
That's what happens.
Yep.
Look at, you know, like with, you know, Romans would act, would, you know, would assimilate to the local culture. Why wouldn't the Drools do the same thing?
Now, do you think Lotor had an Oedipus complex with Allura, being she looked like his mother?
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Time. Oh, boy. Here's something to step into.
Neon flashing lights.
Yeah. Hello, Freud.
So can we talk about that relationship a little bit? About how Lotor was just so enamored with Allura that it was almost creepy.
Oh, it was very creepy. And that made it even creepier when he turned his eyes on Ramel just because she looked like Allura. He knew nothing really about either one of them. But they were just so pretty. He wanted them for that. It was really weird.
Well, even in I can't remember what episode was, but there was this passing sweeping shop through his harem, and they were blonde girls.
They all
that looked like Allura. All of them, like it's
with
just
heavy
a harem of dancing girls.
It was almost like a Robert Palmer video.
Yeah.
And I think that's almost why Allura would probably be just totally freaked out more than anything. I mean, just to know that, it's like, ugh. And it's like, just please take a clue. No.
Yeah.
I don't want to be just one of your harem.
Yeah. You wonder if it's a genuine love for her or just some psychotic need to complete his collection, you know?
Exactly.
It's hard.
Gotta catch them all.
It's hard to tell.
Like Pokemon.
Oh, boy.
Which is why when Mark Handler was describing his vision of what a Voltron movie could be, about how Allura and Lotor would be representatives from their own, you know, planets coming together as part of the new galaxy alliance, where they would have to do things together as representatives, and it would just get under Keith's skin so much. And of course, Lotor would be loving it and Allura would be hating it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought Lotor was always very good looking. I think it'd be awesome. If they do a live action movie, it should be a very devastatingly handsome Lotor, I think. Like Loki in the new Thor movies, you know?
Well, do you remember that time on the boards a couple of years ago, we were talking about a Voltron ballet, and we talked about Lotor doing that variation, sort of like Marcelo Gomez doing his Rothbart variation, very sexy. All the women were just, you know, drawn to him magnetically. It was really good.
Yes.
I could totally see that.
Oh, definitely.
So we're all in agreement that we'd really like to see something of a more mature Voltron.
Yeah.
Definitely.
With you know, just enough innuendos to go over kids' heads, but all the adults will get.
If the adults get a new version, should the kids get one too?
They've already got theirs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's our turn.
Our turn, darn it.
Yeah. So you want, if this was to happen, you would want the only Voltron out there to be this new mature Voltron.
That'd be great. But I know they want to
so that it could, so that it could shine on its own.
Well, I would like to see a kids version just for the aspect of that there would be a toy company that would latch on to that and make us toys. Because I want my mature Voltron, but I also want my toys.
I want the Voltcom.
Yes.
I think we all want a Voltcom.
Yeah, I'm already, you know, scouring hobby shops for plastic so I can actually make my own, and even tempted to go over to Radio Shack saying, how can I make it light up?
LED lights, usually.
Yes, but, you know, which ones? Because I just, they got, have you seen what Radio Shack has?
Yeah.
The possibilities are really tempting.
And you should latch onto that right now, because who knows if Radio Shack's going to be around 5 to 10 years from now.
Yeah.
If they're going to be making, selling printer bots, it's possible.
Right.
That's all I could do with that printer bot.
But what's fun, though, I think just recently at the St. Louis Comic Con, one of our members, as well as myself, were there, and Aqua, she actually made a Voltcom. It was great. It looked great. She put a lot of time into it, but it looked great.
That's the fun about the cosplay. You can make your own stuff, is you couldn't get it in the store, so you have to make your own. Then it's, you know, beauty of cosplay.
Did you tell everybody you were the female Pidge?
Well, I was, yes. Okay. That was me. I did a femme Pidge cosplay for St. Louis Comic Con. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, because Jeremy mentioned it during the panel.
Yes, that was me. The boots made it worth it, totally worth it. The green go-go boots were just awesome.
You have to send me the address for that because I'm tempted for my own little outfit.
I think they're actually from a stripper supply store, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I'm a little edginess to the cosplay there.
I guess you have to find them where you can find them.
That's right. Don't be judging.
There was a fan video where supposedly they redubbed some Voltron.
Oh, no.
It was Voltron hellbent for leather.
Wow.
Oh, no.
I'm not going into details of what was going on, but it was funny.
Has there been some other fan-created Voltron stuff that you guys have enjoyed? I know that most people like the Red Lion video that we saw out there with...
That was amazing. Loved it.
Yeah, Timothy Olmanson.
Oh, right. Yes. Right. I remember that. Yes.
That
played, gave me chills. Yeah. That gave me chills.
That really was amazing.
I mean, that was something that people almost, they saw it and they thought, oh, is this the trailer for the Voltron movie?
Oh, I know.
It was so well done.
That's the fun thing about, you know, our technology nowadays, that we can, as fans, we can, you know, supplement and do our own creations, like fan fiction, like cheese art. You can actually make it and put it out there. It just adds to the whole flavor of the Voltron universe. That's the beauty of it.
Right. Any other fan creations that you guys know of that you really enjoyed?
Well, of course, our Twitter RP I really enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been going on for over 2 years now. That's been quite a labor of love.
How do you guys keep that going?
I have no idea how I play the princess. Or actually, the Queen Allura. I don't know how I do it every night. There's times when I kind of want to go...
Yeah, you have I love to take it so break. Much. It just comes, you know, we do our own ideas that we wanted to see a certain thing happen in an episode. Well, we take that and just play it out. We play against each other or play off each other. We're all writers in our group pretty much. We kind of just take from our creativity and just go with it. And it's been so much fun.
And how do you guys decide when you're going to get together to do this at the same time?
We kind of start around 10 p.m. every night. And whoever shows up unless we've got something big in the works. And then we try to schedule it.
Oh,
it's okay. A lot of times it's just a slice of life type thing, and whoever's there runs with their story and we interact with each other. But sometimes we do actually schedule out these epic dramas, and that's always fun to see because you're still bouncing off each other. We don't really have a script at all.
Totally spontaneous. Well, for the most part, there's a general direction, but for the most part, our dialogue is spontaneous. Live action fan fiction, pretty much.
And we do get edgy. We do get dark.
Very. Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially naughty certain girls. People.
Poke, poke.
What?
Okay, so which of the three of you is edgier?
I don't know. I mean, let's see. The Pitch Larmina goes long and interesting.
Yeah, there's some crazy kids.
Yeah, very crazy.
Is anybody keeping a compilation of this whole thing that has been taking place on Twitter?
Yes.
More or less. I save it. I run it in Firefox so I can save it as a text file every night.
One of our members, Aqua, does. She keeps it every night, I believe. If not, she has someone do it for her.
All right. So is this available anywhere where you can go back and see it in order?
I keep it in a folder on my desktop, but we don't have it out on the internet.
Ah.
It's really hard to do that. We'd love to do that sometime, but it's just not worked out. We haven't really found a medium to put our stuff out there. So we've had some, in my humble opinion, some very epic storylines, and it's a shame we can't find a good medium. I guess we could eventually put them on, you know, write them into a fanfiction.net document there or something, but it'd be great to have a medium for that.
So it's more like it's improvised.
Very absolutely. Improvised.
Yep.
What was the name of that show where Drew Carey was the host? Whose line is it anyway?
Yes.
Right. So it's the Voltron version of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
With Robeasts and all that.
And all the characters you love from Voltron.
Yeah, we've brought them back. And Gary. Yes, we have a Gary.
Yeah. I also play little Robeast Gary, the little sliver that survived.
From what we know of Gary, Gary only really said, Gary.
Yeah.
Right? But what else does he do?
Well, we've made some additions to him. He's basically had a translator slapped into him so he can actually speak a little more. But he usually, on his own, would say bacon or Gary or kaboobs.
Wow.
Ja-ass.
Ja-ass. But he's been known to go really hyper speed on coffee. He burps flames whenever he drinks alcohol, so he's kind of convenient for that if you ever want to get rid of a large stash of liquor.
Okay.
Just...
So he's got a little bit of drag in him? Is that
Well,
it,
no, it's just that you put alcohol in him, and the side effects is for him to belch flames.
Okay.
And he's realized that also he can't eat marshmallows. They don't agree with him.
What happens?
They basically, it builds up into a gas and, it's not polite.
Wow.
It's a lot of toasted marshmallow.
Now, don't you guys wish you could sort of have these sounds come out on your role play?
Oh, yes. Gary could
yes.
You do know it's only a matter of time before you start posting sound files as an attachment to your little blip. In 140 characters or less, right?
We do karaoke night occasionally, so they will post what they're going to sing for karaoke night. So we've had some very fun karaoke nights.
Those are always interesting.
We need another karaoke night.
We do, absolutely.
What happens on karaoke night?
Anything.
Weirdness.
Okay.
Imagine Alora singing anything from Lady Gaga.
Wow.
We've had opera. We've had country.
Opera, country.
Do you guys remember the end of that Shrek movie where they were all doing karaoke? And
yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yeah. So that's what it would be like, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Costumes are encouraged.
Oh, yes. We have fun with role-playing Daniel, who loves to go out in his glittery Speedo.
Oh, God.
That boy ain't right. After his Hagerium infection, that boy ain't right. I'm just saying.
And here's what I would see Daniel doing. I'd see Daniel going out as Donny Osmond in purple socks. What do you guys think? Now
I'm taking notes, Mark. Thank you.
There's a lot of people out there that might be listening to this who don't even know who Donny Osmond is and why I'm saying purple socks. But if you watch the Donny and Marie show back in the 70s, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yes. I role play Daniel, so I'm taking notes, Mark. Just watch out. My
okay. Album. Gotcha.
He has come out in Miami Vice gear, and he does occasionally put on all kinds of crazy outfits. Bad golf pants. He's taken up golfing recently, and he's found some very heinous golf pants. So,
okay.
Well, that explains that.
Yeah, I never know what Daniel's going to do. He's pretty out there. That Hagerium really got to him.
Are those plaid pants?
Very.
Are they plaid with dots?
They are plaid. They're red and gold and green plaid, and they're just like karma chameleon plaid there. It's just heinous.
Ouch. Ouch.
My mother used to force me to wear plaid pants in the 70s, and I did not like it.
Maybe Laura has to put a rule out.
I think we all had to wear plaid pants in the 70s. I think that was mandatory.
And then it was corduroys.
Oh.
Oh,
and the noise it made when you walked.
Yeah, the static. Oh. All right, I want to ask, did any of you guys ever call any one of your teachers Hagar when you were growing up? Did you ever give Voltron names to those teachers you didn't like very much?
I remember seeing Hagar's name when the show first came out and wondering, why did they name her after Hagar Slacks? I was a weird child.
I remember those.
Was the Hagar Slacks spelled the same way?
Yes, it was.
Oh.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah. It was the men's slack that you could find in the Sunday paper.
That's
inserts.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Sears.
Wow.
God.
You would only get that information on an all female Voltron podcast.
You would. Mark, right. You're just totally blown away by this, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I knew we'd get into fashion
Whole
sooner
new world.
Or later. So, was there any particular types of Voltron fashion that you guys remember from the 80s? I mean, other than t-shirts, obviously.
I once got myself a bomber jacket only because it looked like Lance's.
Ah,
Atta girl.
okay. So the reason that you liked a leather jacket was because of Lance.
Yeah, when I actually was earning my own money and stuff, and I had, you know, came across this leather jacket and it looked exactly like Lance's to me. And so I got it. I have no idea what happened to it.
And of course, you know you would never have been able to find anything that looked like Pidge's outfit.
Heck no. Actually, no, wait a minute. I found a brown version when I was trying to do a costume for ElfQuest for a Halloween, and all I managed to find was this brown cowboy-like or Indian-style outfit, and it looked almost like a brown version of Pidge's outfit.
Well,
Oh
you know, Pidge was a rodeo clown in a former life, right?
no. I did find a green headband for a St. Louis Comic Con, by the way. I rocked that thing.
Yes.
Oh yes, had that the headband. Come on, it's Pidge.
And do you think we would be able to get any of the pajamas looking stuff that they had in Voltron Force?
If I looked around, I probably could find a granny style pair of pajamas that look like Allura's.
Yeah, always Keith wearing grandpa pajamas all the time up in, you know, the old series. He's always
Maybe
wearing grandpa pajamas.
Nanny got those outfits.
And Pitch would always wear the nightgown style.
Yeah,
I
I
was
would.
wearing a t-shirt. Just
Do you guys remember the episode where Prince Bokar was there and they were fighting the snakes, and we were talking about this in a previous episode about how for some reason they always had knives with them.
Yeah.
That they came out of nowhere out of their pajamas.
Like a street gang or something, right?
I don't know. I mean, it makes some sense to me, but
I mean, the army lead did carry Leatherman, so I guess I could kind of see that, you
Well, they, you know,
know.
they are trying to fight and protect themselves, but yeah, I would find better places other than the bed.
Well, I remember someone saying that they were living under a threat basically all the time, so they kind of had to keep some sort of weapon on hand.
Right.
But it made sense.
Right.
Yes. So now they have Volcoms, and
Oh, yeah, they don't need
Keith
knives.
probably sleeps with his on.
Knives are so last year.
So,
Exactly.
if you had to create a new weapon for each of the characters to have, what would you create?
Ah, good question. We've
Are we
actually done that
talking
in RP, so
Yeah, we
with
have.
the Volcoms. Yeah,
Are
we
we
give them all a
talking
secondary
Volcom
weapon.
weapon or actual weapon?
Well, anything that you can think of, it can be made up, and we don't have to be able to actually make one.
Well, Lance has the magma sword now in the RP because he is the sword of Voltron. He's the bringer of justice. He defends the team against outside threats. And this happened
Okay.
during the Daniel trials. He has the, you know, like Excalibur, the magma sword. It was really cool.
Did any of you get to see the most recent How to Train Your Dragon?
No, I haven't seen that
On the
not yet.
list.
All right, in that episode, and this isn't giving really anything away because it's in the previews, Hiccup has a sword that sort of lights up fire,
Sweet.
which is really cool. And when you mentioned the magma sword, that was what I thought of.
It's something like that. Yeah, it doesn't really light up in flames, but it sure does glow.
Okay.
I'm a Pacific Rim when they actually got the sword, Pacific Rim, which I've seen, I think, about 10 times now.
Right.
When they actually used the sword in Pacific Rim, I nearly squeed out of my chair at the movie theater because, like, yeah, robot sword, of course.
And that was what Ted Koppler was saying, is he's got
Yeah.
his own blazing sword, so
Right.
it reminded him of exactly of Voltron.
Yeah.
Actually, what I thought was interesting is that sword actually almost starts off like a whip first, and
Yes.
then it straightens out into a
Right,
sword. And to
right.
me, all I could think of is like, oh, that would be so fun to play with.
Yeah, it almost reminded me of that electronic whip that Mickey Rourke's character had in the Iron Man movie.
Ah,
Right,
yes.
right.
Yeah, and then once it whipped out, then it would go completely straight and become a sword, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to play with that.
So, what about Pidge? Would Pidge have a new weapon?
He does.
And
In
yes,
the
he actually has a
RP.
shield. Yeah, he has a shield which is reinforced, kind of like a almost like a ninja star combined with a shield. It's pretty
Force
awesome.
shield. He has
Yeah,
that.
it's a force shield.
Does he use it like Captain America used it?
Pretty almost very, yeah, in a very similar manner, yes.
Okay,
Yes.
so the boomerang shield that the tech ninja Voltron with the green center
Yes,
had
that
in
was
Voltron
inspired by that.
Force. Okay, all right, there we go.
It ties back to the forest element too.
Yeah, he also has the Kasaragama, and that has given him no end of trouble.
Yes. Ninja and all.
I know.
He would have to pick the most difficult weapon to play
He
with.
would, wouldn't he?
He's pitch.
And then Laura's new weapon, what would that be? In the new Voltron Force cartoon, she had a bow and arrow.
I love
Yeah.
that. Kind of like Diana, the huntress, goddess. I love that.
Reminds you a little bit of what Wonder Woman or
Greek mythology, actually. That's what I was thinking of.
okay.
Diana, the hunter, the
Well,
goddess of the hunt.
chances are,
Yeah.
maybe I would, give her the trident.
Oh, yeah.
When she was in Blue Lion, because in the RP she's actually in black now,
Oh, really?
but I'm sure she would want to swing around a trident again. So,
Back to the ocean element, the water element. Yeah, definitely.
okay. And how about Keith? What would Keith have?
Him and his blades.
Yeah, we could just
So.
change up the kind of swords, like to more samurai style or something like that. Would be
Ooh,
cool.
yeah,
Yeah,
katana or
give
something.
him the classic. Keith, usually with his blades, granted in the Voltron Force he had those, Voltron-like swords. Give him the classic katana.
Well, then again, though, he is kind of the figure of like the knight on the ideal knight, the knight on shining armor. Give him a classic knight sword,
Sir Lancelot.
Big old iron. Yeah, there you go. Give him an Excalibur. He's going to be the prince consort anyway, so might as well have a princely sword, right?
Well, no, I mean, it's like I think he was supposed to be king in the Voltron Force.
Eventually.
Eventually.
He even started gathering his own King's Guard around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I wanted to almost smack Alora for questioning on the show. It's like, hello, good idea.
Right.
Build up the forces during peacetime so that way whenever Voltron leaves, someone's got Eris's back.
Yeah, you don't want
It's
to.
kind of a motley crew. I mean,
Yeah, really.
probably misshapen peasant type guys is like, this is a fighting force? Okay.
It's almost like she forgot that this all happened to her and that in driving towards peace so much, you don't want to forget that this could happen again.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. But, that's Allura, always being the ideal.
You would think after all that happened to her that she would be on more like Keith that way.
Yeah.
You could go into that whole episode, really, because she's been through so much losing her family. I mean, you could really, if you're wanting to dig deep to Allura's psyche, you could really, I mean, she'd be a very fascinating character. She's been through so much in her life, and here she is now ruling a planet. She's the last of her line of the family, and here she's in charge, and that could be a very interesting episode all on its own.
The devils do. She was much harder and darker because she's been through
Yes.
all that.
Yes, exactly.
All right. One, I think there's one character we didn't touch, and that was Hunk.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I love Hunk. He's so awesome. Fangirl
Do we tend to ignore Hunk, or do we tend to include him as much as possible?
I was so excited in the new series when they had Hunk. It was that episode when they're on that the lake beach. He come out and he was like, look at Hunk. He's like buff. He's all swole. I mean, he looked great. And it's like, you know what? It's great because he was kind of that. In the old series, it's like he was that big, lovable, fluffy, fat guy, kind of Seth Rogen kind of character, And it was good to see him actually, wait, he's actually, strong and built, and he had a character and personality. It wasn't just this, laughable, lug hanging around. He had actual depth and, interest to him.
And he
Great.
had a love for building too, because that was an impressive sandcastle he made.
It was. And rock and roll too, by the way. He could rock and play the guitar. That was pretty
That's just
awesome.
all about the food.
Exactly. Oh
Do you remember the
goodness.
grill that he made that shot through the roof of the
Yes.
castle?
I so want to make that
Yeah.
grill.
Oh,
In fact,
yes.
his grills are a part of the RP now. He's got so many
Yes.
grills. He's like the grill master.
Oh, wow.
The master war chef.
So,
And he's
Yes.
using more than just jet fuel.
Oh, God.
so what would his weapon be then?
His grills.
His grills. He probably has a
A
few weapons.
giant
Grills.
flamethrower. That's what he needs.
There you go. Like that. Flamethrower. There you go.
Oh, you gotta start to chokehold somehow.
Okay. All right, so we've gone through all the weapons that they would have. All right, what about the vehicles? I mean, other than the lions, obviously,
I
but.
so wanted to see what Keith's motorcycle would have looked like.
Oh,
I mean, I
yes.
almost imagine it almost like the Akira, the red one.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Imagine
Oh,
crawling
yeah.
on that.
Yeah, that would be great.
I remember John Teichman mentioning that some of the other videotapes that they had in the box that Die Rugger was in and Go Lion was in, that one of them was about motorcycles, rocket motorcycles. And I said, wow, that would have been a cool one to make.
That would be so awesome. Oh, yes. Definitely. Kind of give them color, like to match their lion, you know? That'd be
If
awesome.
we could add motorcycles into any episode, I'd be okay with it.
Oh, certainly. Definitely.
So I don't want to give the impression that I'm into motorcycles or anything. Obviously not.
No.
Or that I might do that after we're done here.
Definitely would be interesting to see what other vehicles would have been on Eris, because aside from the awesome Tron,
Oh yeah. From the hunk yard.
yeah, from the hunk yard, it would be kind of interesting to see what other kind of things would have been slapped together, especially once awesome Tron was sacrificed. You know, I'm sure that they would have been saying, "Hey, let's try and build another."
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like that could only happen once. I mean, you know,
Yeah,
you
let's
were
do it
able to
again.
do it once, you could do it again.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, Tony Stark has to start over again. Why can't we?
Exactly. You know, always cracked me up that, you know, back in the old episodes where they had you had Voltron, you had, you know, obviously technology, yet they still had carriages and horses on Eris. Like, it was so old school. Like, yeah, what's up with that?
And
No cars?
Barmy the farmer.
Yes. Oh, God, Barney.
Oh, we need to bring him back in that RP.
Yeah, you had like the rednecks of Eris hanging out. Who knew?
Right. The rednecks of Eris.
It's like
Oh
Duck
boy.
Dynasty for Eris.
We've got our new reality show.
Oh boy, there we go.
Well, that
Just
was
to buy more.
the one thing with Voltron Force was all of a sudden all the people of Eris seemed like really inept. Whereas in the original show, at least they seemed like people, you know. They're
They're
okay, they're working people, they're
survivors.
out there, you know, they're people. But in the Voltron Force, they were all, you know, they were never portrayed as being able to handle anything.
Well,
You're
apparently,
right.
if they
Yeah.
were inside a cave and throwing spears at people that were out in the open, apparently they couldn't hit them.
No.
So it's.
That's horrible aim.
They were
Yeah.
badass, yes.
Like
Yeah.
G.I. Joe lasers,
Oh gosh, well, I guess we know where the stormtroopers went.
And to use a Star Wars reference, only Eris cave dwellers are so precise.
You went there.
Yeah, I went there.
I would love some more background story on the whole Volcom. I mean, the evolution of it. Of course, I know the series is only one season. There's so much you could do with it, but I'd like to see more of where that Voltron came from. Who is how's it tied to their to Voltron and who actually designed them? Seemed like it was just kind of put out there. Yeah, it's cool and great and everything, but where did it come from? Who was behind it?
There's this secret energy planet that was the fifth planet that we never found out
Ah,
about,
yes, the energy planet.
and how it connects with Vince and how it connects with the Voltcoms and Voltron's true energy. We never found out.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I guess some answer might come out when I think the book comes out.
Yes.
Some of that might be explained.
Yeah, that would be nice to find out. So I was like, because my head is like going like a 50 miles of like what possibly could have happened, especially with the little tidbits that I've seen. Because
Yeah.
goodness knows I got my own little fanfic going on saying, well, this is what happened. There will be like this conflict between Keith and Daniel, and Keith gets kidnapped, and this is what happens when he's kidnapped, and all this stuff. And I was like, ooh, that would be so
Well,
tempting.
as you guys are thinking about all these new ideas that you have for fan fiction and role playing and stuff like that, I just wanted to ask, what do the rest of your family members think of all the things you do with Voltron?
My mom thinks
Oh, I'm an only child. Well, only surviving child, and my mother really doesn't get it. But I guess, you know, different eras. It's hard to bridge that gap.
of course, yeah.
Yeah, I think I have that way with my mom as well. She does not understand it. My husband, he doesn't care. He just is like, you know, okay, that's your thing. And my kids love it.
Mine
Because
too.
I entertain the kid, my son, by giving him like Voltron shirts, and I've showed him the shows, and we've had our time, and Now I got another little one, so it's like one more person to bring into the
Well,
folds.
life with mom certainly isn't boring, is it, kids?
Oh gosh, no.
No.
Because, especially when mom goes off the wall and I go, "Oh yeah, mom's going crazy, right?" And they're like, "Yeah."
Now, have the kids actually said certain things about Voltron that they really appreciate that you did?
Oh, my kids love Voltron. I mean, we've been watching it together, and they love the old season and the old series and the new, and it's kind of cool to pass it on to my kids, and this is great.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've rekindled Voltron even more than ever with my son.
Absolutely.
And I think my son likes to go Robeast on me at times. I sometimes accuse him of being a little Doomite.
Wow.
But I guess someone has to play the bad guy. So if he's willing to volunteer to be the Robeast, I'll be the lion force.
So have you had any of your friends or anything that have said, you're too much of a Voltron fan or anything like that? Have they ever tried to say anything negative about it?
Nope, not with
No.
mine.
That's good.
Because my friends,
I keep friends who are crazy as me, so it all
That's the
works.
way it should be. That's the way it should be.
I do get. I live in a neighborhood. It's kind of a nicer one that has a ladies' club, and they just think I'm just a little special. I play roller derby, and I'm into all the science, this crazy science fiction stuff. And my mother doesn't get it either. She just does not get it. She's, "Oh, Tally's weird stuff," in quotation marks. It's always been that way. But it's who I am. It's what I want to do. And I'm a lady. Yeah, I'm a mom. I work for Department of Defense. I have a pretty serious job. And but that's part of me too, is being a big fan. And it's just what I am. I grew up having to be, a girl, and not, kind of feeling a little weird than other girls, a little different. But now I'm like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just go. Let my fan flag fly, and just enjoy it.
Are you guys okay with calling yourself fangirls?
I
Oh
am,
yeah,
yeah.
absolutely. I rock the title.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I own it.
And are you guys familiar with Her Universe?
Yes, cute
Oh,
stuff.
would you like to see Ashley Eckstein's Her Universe get the Voltron license?
Yes.
Would that not be cool?
Oh gosh, I would love to have tights that have like maybe Robeast all over them. And that would be kind of cute right there. And
Oh, I
then,
love tights.
or imagine tights that have nothing but Gary on them.
Oh my God.
I love
That
those.
would be something.
Yeah,
That
that'd be
would be
awesome.
hilarious, especially just many expressions of Gary all over them. And then have a nice big old top that would just have like Voltron classic style pose.
And we have to have Keith's jacket.
Oh,
Oh, the biker jacket? Oh my gosh, yes. Would love it. Yeah, I gotta have some more gear for Derby. I need some Voltron inspired roller derby gear. So she's going that right away. The tights especially.
You've seen some of the offerings that are up there for things like Doctor Who or The Walking Dead or Star Wars or Star Trek or, they recently added the Marvel line. So if you've seen the types of materials and stuff that they use there on Her Universe, what do you think Voltron would fit perfectly into?
Let's see.
I think of the more casual stuff, like the hoodies and things like that you could wear every day.
Oh yeah, like a
Get
hoodie
the
with a blazing sword rolled the way down the
Yeah.
back.
Oh,
Oh
wow.
yeah.
Or even something that just had the logos. I always like the ones that don't come out and say it, but have the logos on them so that only those in the know get it.
Right.
It's kind of
Like
like
the
an
jerseys
inside
are that
joke
way.
kind of thing. Yeah,
Kind of like the thing that she did with the Agents of Shield, where when it glows in the dark, it glows in the dark Hydra.
Oh,
Oh, that's beautiful.
yes.
Right.
Clever.
Yeah, it is clever. I thought that was
Very.
really cool.
Of course, my husband would be all furious and going, "Oh my gosh, how much money are you spending on stuff?"
Oh, I know.
We could have a shirt that has only that symbol that was the tattoo that the slaves of Drool had. Do you remember that one?
Oh, what's
Oh,
on?
yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Then
Oh,
only the
yeah.
people from Voltron would know that.
And
Or
also,
yeah,
that would make all the Doomites happy, too.
the Doom Skull.
Like the secret handshake or something.
We could have little I don't know, skull tanks or something like that.
Skull tank house shoes.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, you know how those sh shoes they have for kids where when they step, weird things kind of happen.
Right.
Like
I can
light up
see the
shoes.
skull. No,
Yes.
the skull tank. So it's like as you step, the skull kind of pops forward. So as if to go
Oh,
attack,
yes.
attack,
Right.
attack.
And there's
Yeah.
some shoes that have the wheels come out.
Wheelies.
So you could be riding your skull
It's your
tanks.
band, aren't they? Riding your skull tanks. That'd be awesome.
Oh, gosh, that would be funny and hilarious. And I would wear it.
Well, I got to tell you, that wouldn't be something that would just be for the ladies. That would be something I would want to.
I don't want Lance's jacket, the leather jacket. Oh, definitely. Like a kind of a, you know, an aviator style jacket. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that would be cool.
Got to have that.
Oh, yeah.
If you wanted to, you could have the five colors of Voltron coming down like they did when Voltron was broken up by the goddess of the universe.
Yes.
And you saw the colors floating down through space.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The little contrail type things. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It would almost be like an animated GIF that you'd be able to put onto a t-shirt somehow.
Give it a wear.
That'd be awesome.
I'm sure the technology is going to be out there soon if it isn't already.
Right.
Yep.
Well, I'm opening it up to you guys. What else do you want to talk about?
I'd like to know what everybody thinks about the depiction of women in the Voltronverse. I mean, we see Allura, who's your pretty much stereotypical princess, damsel in distress. Then we've got Ramel, who's the warrior princess. And then you've got Hagar, who's really a very powerful woman when you get to it.
Oh, very.
Merla.
Merla, yeah.
I love Merla.
Yeah, you've got all these heroes front and center, but you've also got a pretty strong female cast.
Well, I think Allura, maybe it's just a product of how she was raised. I mean, Nanny's probably had so much influence, so she's acting one way. But in a sense, you know, she is a little bit of a tomboy. I mean, because she wants to, you know, get out and help her people, despite the fact that Nanny is like saying, no, no, no. Oh, gosh, I wanted to smack that woman so many times.
I never.
We had already talked about one of the most annoying characters in the Voltron series has been Nanny.
Yeah.
And it has a lot to do with how she came up through the ranks of the royal family and everything like that, and what was expected as a royal family member, and how Allura was going so against that.
It was always, yeah. You know, you could be a pilot, sure, go ahead and be a pilot, but, oh, by the way, you're always getting married. It was always in the background, you're going to get married, you're going to get married, you're going to step out of that line eventually, and you're going to get married and be queen, because you shouldn't be a pilot. That just always irked me. That, you know, it was always expected of her to get married and I guess, yeah, she's royal or anything, you know, but for Nanny, it was the most important function for Allura to ever do was to, you know, propagate and get married into the whole
right.
royal thing. When she was defending her planet, she was actually doing what a real leader should do. She was actually stepping in and taking part in the defense of her homeworld. And it's what a real leader would do.
Right. And I think what Nanny forgot was that your world has been torn apart by all these different battles and stuff that you know, Planet Doom has brought upon your planet. And if you expect us to just go right back to that whole same royalty tradition, it's not going to happen because our planet has changed.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't just go back to the way things were. Idyllic past. It's not going to happen.
And then, of course, you got Merla, who's an interesting character, too. I mean, she was bad, and then she was sort of good. But, I mean, we never know in the end from Defender of Universe of her going, maybe she might have said, this being good stinks. I'm going back to being bad.
I loved her when she and Lotor got, you know, broke up. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, she threw the bracelet off the bridge.
Toss the bracelet. We're done. I'm so over this. We're never going to get together.
Can you imagine what would have happened if the relationship between Merla and Lotor had blossomed?
I don't think they could have.
It was doomed from the start.
Yeah, it was definitely
I think they could have gotten married, but it would have been a completely political thing. There wouldn't have been emotion
right.
there.
He was so Allura fascinated.
Through her telepathy, she was able to influence people in their sleep and stuff like that. I don't think Lotor would have ever trusted her, you know, that whenever he slept, that he could have done something that he didn't intend to do.
As well he shouldn't. That Game of Thrones thing going on there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
She scares me. I mean, Marilla is kind of like the Red Witch of Game of Thrones there, you know. She's
exactly
pulling the strings in the background. You know, it's really funny because she's a much better capable ruler than Lotor ever could have been. She's she has the psychic power. She obviously is a leader in her own right and probably more successful technically. You know, it always puzzles me that, you know, she had to be subjugated to Lotor and to, you know, Zarkon when she really was more bad, you know, bad arse than they were.
She knew it too. She knew she was a better leader than they.
Absolutely. She did.
She seized that throne like nobody's business.
Yeah. And I think this is what makes the female villains stronger than the male villains, was that the male villains were sort of like in your face villains. They were like, I'm going to attack you. I'm going to destroy you. And the female villains were a lot more subtle. They could make things happen without you even knowing it.
One of Merla's first attacks against the Voltron Force was poison. She didn't send a Roby. She sent that poison jar of, what was it, honey drink or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Honey
she
wine.
She didn't come right out, you know, guns blazing and attack the castle of lions. She sent a poison drink to knock them all out, and then she'd walk in and take over. She was no fool.
Right, and where Zarkon wanted to just destroy the whole Voltron Force all at once, and Voltron included, she only wanted to take out one of them, and she knew that that would mess them up.
Yeah, very strategic thinking, actually.
Right.
Well, that's what Hagar did, too. Take out one, and the whole thing falls apart. She knew that.
Right.
Of course, then everyone got wise on Hagar, but, you know, but Morla was being very subtle by sending other people to do it, so that way it didn't lead back to her.
She thought about it. Yeah, exactly. She covered her tracks. And also, too, the female characters of Voltron were tied more to a spiritual sense. You had Allura, who could speak to the dead. You had Hagar, obviously a witch, a very, very powerful witch. Then you had, you know, Merla with her telepathy. These female characters had a very interesting spiritual side or connection to them as well. That was very neat.
Do you think that was the Japanese influence?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Japanese anime tend to be very spiritually inclined. You see it in a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, even in most Japanese films and stories and fables and anime, the villains are oftentimes, and the heroines are often, you know, they're females and just as equally as strong and terrifying as the males, if not more so at times, you know, they give more equal billing.
We talk about Merla and Hagar and all the spiritual heroines, but I particularly liked Ramel because here was a woman, she wasn't particularly spiritual, but she'd been through, you know, really a really bad time. Her brother was a Robeast, her father pretty much lost it, she'd been abandoned,
yes.
It was never clearly spelled out, but we knew Lotor sexually assaulted her, and yet she didn't crumble and give up and faint. She got, the first thing she did after that attack when she got back to the cell was said, you know, let's get out of here, I've got a plan. She took her own destiny in her hands. She didn't just fall over and swoon. And you know, she was awesome.
Well, she definitely was.
It was great. You know, that was the way a couple should be.
And that's what real war is. What happens to women nowadays in conflicts when they're caught up in these wars, they are oftentimes exploited like that. And but they manage to persevere and come back. And that kind of reflects, Ramel is very interesting in that aspect that she actually comes back a stronger person for it, you know, even though no matter what's happened to her, she was pretty much pawned off by her father and of course with Lotor and everything, but she still managed to find her strength and go on.
And yeah, I can imagine her saying to her council that she wants to marry Sven. She doesn't care what they think. She's going to the altar. They could deal with it. I always imagine that's what happened. she's not going to lay down for a political marriage. She's saying, this is, you know, my life. I'm going to live it, deal with it.
And I think it says something to her strength that Sven was, you know, very interested in staying with Ramel and not going back to the Voltron Force.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she was probably the only character in the show that actually evolved. Because when we first met her, she was basically courting Lotor in a way.
Right.
Being her father was, you know, trying to get an alliance with Doom. And then the whole evolution of her, you know, seeing what Doom was and what her father's was and all that and trying to better that. I think she's probably one of the only characters that had a real evolution shift. Well, Merla.
Definitely.
Well, Merla to me was always plotting and kind of like a cat playing with its toys. And she could have gone either way. You know, it was just what was going to be more entertaining for her at the time. But yeah, Rommel was really interesting, compelling storyline that followed her through the whole series.
Oh, very much.
So did we answer your original question about the female characters in Voltron?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Does somebody have another subject that we want to talk about?
I've got one. The thing that I've in my later years, reflecting back as to myself as the kid, why was it that this one show stood out so much that I can still remember every second, every episode? You know, what made this show different from, you know, your Scooby-Doo's or your He-Man's or, you know, the other things that, you know, there's obviously some magic, and whether it's the Japanese ideal aesthetic that just permeated through it that made it different enough. I mean, I know my answers to it, but I'd be interested to hear from the others why this show stood out so much from the pack.
I think for my part, it was a perfect blend. You know, I grew up on things like Star Blazers and Battle of the Planets and, of course, Scooby-Doo. But Voltron had everything. It had the fantasy. It had the, you know, the mystical aspect. It had the science. It had the fairy tale thing. I mean, it was just the perfect blend. And you really got to know and care about these characters. You know, it wasn't this episodic serial or, you know, this, well, this thing happens, and this, then the next show, this thing happens, and it's totally unrelated. You could really get into it. It was a cohesive story. Yeah. There was humor, and there was tragedy, and, you know, people evolved. People, you know, changed, and you just had to love that. You could not. Plus, it had giant robots. How can you lose?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right, and as you guys remember, Ted Koppler had said it was more than a space adventure, you know, because it had these characters that all of us could relate to, even though they were from such diverse backgrounds. And I think it really said a lot about how these people come together to accomplish those goals that have to do with, you know, fighting evil, you know, maintaining peace, you know, defending the universe, you know, and just taking care of people, you know, and planets and mm-hmm. the Galaxy Alliance and everything else. I mean, there's so many things that were part of Voltron that remind me about what makes up a good story. And I can tell you, if you go back to another story called The Princess Bride.
Oh, yes.
And you remember the grandfather telling the son the story. And the first thing the grandson asks is, well, what's good about it? And the grandfather tells, are you kidding? Oh, there's fighting. Yeah. There's giants. There's romance. There's true love. There's, you know, all these different aspects of a story that make it great, you know? And I think that's what made Voltron great, was that it had so many elements in it that everybody just mm-hmm. loves, and everybody could relate to the characters in the story.
Yeah,
definitely. For me, it was just that perfect, you know, everything story-wise. Yeah, I just hooked on, and that was it.
Yeah, and also the princess in the story. It was a fairy tale, but, you know, the princess wasn't just sitting in the castle in her pretty dress, wringing her hands and fretting all the time. She was actually took off her dress, put on a uniform, and got behind the wheels yeah. or got behind the gear of the craft to fight. Right. And, we just seen the stories like, you know, the Barbie, you know, being perfect and pretty. Well, here she was. Yeah, I'm pretty, but I'm also kicking butt, you know.
And I think it was like also the episode with Balto, where at first she didn't go to Balto. And then mm-hmm. later on, she realized, you know what? I need to be with my friends doing the right thing.
Right.
And yeah. basically, even though Coran and Nanny are going, well, you're not really thinking about going. And I'm like, she's like, yeah, I am. I'm going. Bye.
And I also think one of the strongest things about this is it came from Go Lion. So it came from the Japanese. And at the same time, it was marketed more to boys at the time. Okay, yes. If you look at some of the original marketing mm-hmm. materials, it talks about the number one boys show of 84 or something like that. And it's amazing to me now that here we are 30 years later and there are so many female fans of the show. And you can't ignore what the story brought to, you know, kids back then and what it brings to kids today, because it caters to both boys and girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think back then they were trying to market to boys because they wanted to sell the toys or they wanted to sell the merchandise and stuff like that. And I think what really comes from it is from that Japanese origin is that, you know, they made strong women characters that really you didn't see a lot of back then as a kid.
Well, like the shows that were marketed to girls back then were so girly, it was nauseating. It was just like, I don't really need something. I need to brush its hair. I really don't.
I turned my Barbies into punks.
Women in and girls in that you could, you know, identify with.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, girls, you have to be pink. Boys, you have to be blue. All right? There's no in between here.
Exactly. I remember as a girl in that era, I love Star Wars from the word go. I love Voltron. I love Robotech. I love G.I. Joe. A lot of my friends were into like things like Sweet Valley High or Little House on the Prairie. And I was just like, this stuff is so boring. But it was all about relationships. Like these, but the important thing for these girls' stories were relationships and what they're going to be. You know, it wasn't about a real story or real life. It was just some silly fluff. And I just hated that.
It was all about friendships and there was always a big moral at the end of the story. And I remember back then, I used to watch the old show Voyagers and I wrote stories that were based around it. I asked my mother, why aren't there any girls doing this kind of stuff? Because the heroes were both male. She said, girls don't do that. I said, why not? They do now. They're gonna. So yeah, that was one good thing about Voltron. You saw Allura wasn't just a token female. She got out there and she was part of the team.
I said more than once that, you know, it sounds maybe silly to say it, but I was in the family, it was not military. My mother wasn't military. My father wasn't military. But my brother and I think really a part of our influence in the military life was Voltron Robotech, the whole military structure and fighting. And for me, seeing characters like Allura or Dana Sterling or Lisa Hayes going off to war, it was like, wow, these women are ones I can relate to. They're awesome.
All right. So I think we've discovered what made Voltron so great compared to other cartoons back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah,
definitely.
All right, so we've come to the 2-hour point. What do you think? It kind of like flew by.
Oh my gosh, really? It is. Oh wow.
I know it's two hours because I hear my daughter.
it's amazing, and I really don't want to take up any more time than we've already taken up. But I know we could go for hours on this.
Definitely.
I know we could.
Oh, probably.
And we have,
because there's so many more avenues to cover.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much more to do. And that's what I think is so great about Voltron in itself is that there's more stories to tell. And you guys are telling them. You're doing the role-playing. You're doing the fan fiction. You're telling the stories. And there's going to be other official people out there that are going to be creating new Voltron stories as well. And we're going to get to see all of those. And we're looking forward to it.
Yep.
So I want to thank you all for joining me today on Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. Thank you very much. I'm going to give each of you a chance to, you know, give a closing statement. So why don't we start with Casey?
Well, I just want to thank you for having me. This has been a blast. And, you know, it's really great to sit down and talk with other Voltron fans. This is something we couldn't do 30 years ago, and it's great to do.
That's right. All right. Let's hear from Cheetoy.
Yep. Again, also want to repeat, thank you for allowing me to be on this podcast. And also, I'm still open for ideas for drawings. So I'm making a list. So when my daughter lets me, I can draw again.
So we can do another Challenge the She?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that would be awesome. So, well, thank you very much. And now, Tally.
Well, I like to say that it's 30 years later, Voltron has definitely impacted my life. Even I have made so many new friendships, met some amazing people, and done some amazing things just through a through Ultron, through a giant robot that came into my life back in 1984. I have a friend moving down here to Huntsville here pretty soon that I met through the role-playing group.
Yes,
she and
I
her
know.
Mom are, but yes, Tara's moving down here. I have like new best friends. I've met these amazing ladies here, Casey and Claire. They're just so creative. And I'm inspired by them. And it's awesome to be a part of a fandom like this and to get involved. And I've enjoyed every minute.
Well, thank you. And last but not least, again, Moira.
Hey. Oh, yes. Again, like everyone else, thanks so much for not only having this here, but having this podcast in the first place. It's just been a great nostalgia to be able to hear things that we didn't even know. I mean, I became a mega fan kind of thing back in the early 2000s when we had nothing. We had no DVDs. There were no comics yet, except for the really early 80s ones. No Voltron Force. Voltron hadn't even re-aired on Nicktoons yet. You know, it was, and to hear all this stuff that, you know, we always wondered about, but now we get to hear from the people themselves who put it together. And it's just been a real joy to revisit all that with everybody. It's a blast. And Chitoy, I'll give you a list of things that you can draw for me, because I've got pictures in my head that I don't have the time to work on.
Oh, if only I could. I have like this Gold Lion comic in my head that I would have to fish out too. And really, it is Gold Lion with all the violence and stuff.
Oh, thank you very much for having us and having the podcast. It's been a real blast.
Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, it has.
Well, you guys are welcome, and I will continue to be doing this podcast as long as you guys are loving it.
Ooh, thank you.
Yeah,
we'll be here.
Well, as we bring this episode to a close, I wanted to make a correction on a previous date we had given you for the Dynamite Comics Robotech Voltron number 4. Dynamite Comics has confirmed that Robotech Voltron number 4 will now be released on July 9th, so 2 weeks later than we had originally reported. That's Robotech Voltron number 4 from Dynamite Comics coming July 9th. Now, the Voltron.com website has a special treat to save Voltron podcast listeners a few extra bucks. Only until this Sunday, June 29th, you can use the code FREESHIP, that's capital FREESHIP, all capital letters. Use that at checkout when you order from Voltron.com, and your shipping will be free. Lastly, we want to give out the address that you can go to online to buy your own podcast t-shirt. Go to teespring.com, that's Teespring.com/Let's Voltron. Get yours now. Buy some for your family and friends, because you can actually benefit by buying more shirts at the same time, because this isn't actually a order that you're making. It's a reservation based on whether or not we reach the goal of 50 t-shirts. The idea is that if we don't reach our goal, nobody gets any t-shirts. But if you order for your family, your friends, and everyone who lives near you, all in the same order, you're actually saving on shipping costs. You'll pay regular shipping rate for the first shirt, but then all the shirts after that will be at a much cheaper rate. So you want to get those on teespring.com/Let's Voltron starting today and going up until July 18th. July 18th is the last date you can reserve your shirts. And then if we actually reach that goal of 50, then you will be able to get those shipped out to you only after July 18th, and it'll take 7 to 13 days. Well, as we said during the podcast, next time we'll be reviewing the next 4 episodes in the Defender of the Universe series. Voltron fangirls, I need you loud and proud. We'll see you next time on
Let's Voltron!